scripture reading this evening comes out of Song of Solomon, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. Song of Solomon 4, verse 7. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to be with one another, to study God's Word, to open up His Word, and certainly study it, meditate on it, and certainly try to apply it to our lives. The women's group has met again, and they're on the move, and we're very thankful for them being on the move, and I have a few things to just get on your mind so you can start thinking about those, but the women are trying to get together a sunshine basket for Cheyenne. If you would like to give any items or any money to buy items, you can give that to Jill or Sarah, but this is a little bit on a timeline that's needed by Wednesday, because they're going to try to get this basket together for Cheyenne and get that off to her. So keep that in mind. Also, we're going to collect some items for Beaumar, and Jeannie is our connection there. I believe the shampoo, soap, comb, toothbrushes, any food that doesn't need to be cooked, just packaged food that, you know, like crackers, probably things like that, anything that's not cooked, etc. So you can talk to Jeannie on that, but any of those items for Beaumar, we'll collect those in the side room. Also, Mountain View, they're taking candy donations for Halloween. You can just drop it off at Mountain View if you want to drop some candy off. So I believe they can give candy out. November 5th, I believe the women are going to have a work day for shirt protectors for Mountain View. Shirt protectors for Mountain View. And we'll get this in the bulletin, but just trying to get some of these things on your mind. And also, November 6th, they're planning finger foods after evening services. And if all goes as planned, I believe John Light will be here, and we might be able to have just a little bit of finger foods and fellowship with him and each other on November 6th. So that's just some things to keep in your mind. We'll try to get those that are applicable on the bulletin so that you can see those. But the one that's most pressing is the sunshine basket for Cheyenne. If you would like to give any money or items to Jill or Sarah, that'll be needed by Wednesday. For the book of this month, I decided the book of Song of Solomon, which probably, as I said last week, probably there's not been a whole lot of lessons preached from. And on our first lesson, it was Love Drives Concern. And I really went through the background of Song of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32. We see that Solomon authored many proverbs, and he also authored many psalms. And I believe that some of these are recorded here in Song of Solomon. Certainly different people have different perspectives on Song of Solomon, but just trying to remind us of some of that background before we get into tonight's lesson is Song of Solomon, I don't believe is quoted anywhere in the New Testament. But I think it does have some powerful lessons that can be applicable to us today. I think that really, if you're going to summarize Song of Solomon, what you really see is during, before, after, and during a marriage, and really the beauty of that. And Song of Solomon does not hide the physical relationship between husband and wife. In fact, if you slow down and read Song of Solomon, you realize how physically explicit it is. It is talking about the physical relationship between husband and wife and the beautiful thing that is. But Song of Solomon is somewhat a difficult book for some individuals. It has more unknown words than any other book, I believe, in the Bible. And what I mean by that is that when they translate the Bible, usually when a word is translated, they'll look other places in the Bible to see where it's translated to really understand the meaning, such as the word day. You know, what does day mean here? What does day mean here? But Song of Solomon, it brings so many unique words that are not used other places in the Bible. So certainly a powerful book. If you're going to look through Song of Solomon, what you're going to see is there's three speakers. Really, it's the bride, the groom, and the chorus. And it is song in relation to it. If you read Song of Solomon, there's probably a few times that you would blush. In fact, if I would have had Corey read a few verses before and a few verses after what he read, he probably would have blushed. But I can tell you that our society as a whole, there is more on TV and internet than Song of Solomon could ever touch. And what Song of Solomon is really touching on is the beauty of marriage. Some people believe it's an allegory, which is really is that when you read Song of Solomon, it's really trying to show you something else, such as Christ's relationship to Israel, or from a New Testament perspective, Christ's relationship to the church. But I really believe it's too physically explicit for that. I think this is truly between husband and wife. This is truly a love story that is recorded. The way I look at Song of Solomon is really, we live Song of Solomon and we feel Song of Solomon. When we go through the courting, the dating, if you say, we go through that, we get married, we live Song of Solomon, we feel Song of Solomon, and it is a very powerful book showing us the beauty of wedded love. And we see pure, noble love. Love that's to be remembered, love that's to be treasured, and love that we should not let go of. And what we try to do in these three lessons, lesson number one was love drives concern, is that we, as we read Song of Solomon, what we can see is these two individuals, their love drives them to be concerned for one another. And you see that in chapter 3, which is where our focus was, is that the wife wakes up, the spouse wakes up, and her husband is nowhere to be found. We see that there's a genuine concern. When we love someone, when we love something, we're concerned about it. And we see that in Song of Solomon. But tonight, what I'd like to look at is the idea that love drives appreciation. Love drives appreciation. When you read through Song of Solomon, there are quite a few, verbal praises or adoration or appreciation for the other. And we can find these throughout the book, and I'm just going to rattle off a few, but I'm just going to try to focus on one or two. It's in chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, chapter 5, verses 10 through 16, chapter 4, verses 4 through, chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. We see the husband is praising his wife. And we see, in some occasions, where the wife is praising the husband. True appreciation. And I understand that Song of Solomon, we know what they're talking about. They're talking about many of the physical traits. But I want to think about that. When we love something, when we love someone, we appreciate it. Do we appreciate our spouse? Do we appreciate our spouse? I think what we see in Song of Solomon is a beautiful thing that cannot be absent in our marriages, in our relationships. Verbal praise. Verbal appreciation. You know, you start to read these, it's very clear what they're talking about. It's very physical. But if you go to chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, you see that I believe Solomon, the husband, is praising his bride. He's praising his wife. And in chapter 4, you start to read down through there. I'm not going to read too far because we'll get to some of those blessing things that I talked about. But it says, behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Now, I know some of these things might not appeal to us. One of my friends growing up, he said, I want to try to pick up a young lady with a pickup line from Song of Solomon. Your hair is like a flock of goats. But we understand that this was a compliment. We understand that this is praise. None of this is meant in a negative way whatsoever. It is praise. Do we praise and appreciate the ones we love? You go down through chapter 4, you're going to see that basically we have a working from the head all the way down to the feet. And then actually in other passages where the husband is praising the wife, he starts from the feet and praises her all the way up to her head. Verbal appreciation, verbal praise. And I know it's physical, but I want you to think about that idea. And we see also that there is a her to him. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, it's the husband praising the wife. But if you go over to chapter 5, I believe, verses 10 through 16, it's her praising her husband. Verbal praise. Verbal appreciation. Have you ever thought about that? Perhaps Song of Solomon has a secret to our marriages. Appreciation. Thankfulness. Have you ever thought about that? I think we see this with these two lovebirds, if you will. These two lovebirds appreciate one another. They love one another, and they're not afraid to say so. Are we afraid to say so when it comes to our marriages and our relationships? Are we afraid to say thank you? Are we afraid to say I love you? Are we afraid to say, you know what, I appreciate what you do. Thank you. I think we have here a beautiful thing between Solomon and his spouse. Appreciation. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments. Is to appreciate something, I think you have to look for the good. And I understand that Song of Solomon, they are looking for physical good, but there are some spots here and there where I think it goes beyond that. But a lot of it is focused on the physical. But do you look for good in every situation in your life? Do you look for good in the relationships of your wife? I know we're talking about marriage, but in your marriage, do you look for the good? When you have relationships with your in-laws, do you look for the good? Do you look for the good in the life that you have around you? Do you look for good? We have these two that love each other, and I think they're looking for good in one another. In fact, what Corey read in the reading, we see that the husband says something about the spouse, and then the spouse immediately says something back about the husband. We see that appreciation. We see that thankfulness. You know, sometimes I think we look over the best things in our life. Sometimes we don't look to the good, and sometimes we dwell on the bad. Are we a thankful people, or are we appreciative people? Are we appreciative in our marriages? Are we appreciative in our relationships? Are we appreciative for the church? Are we do we appreciate those things that are around us? Because I think being appreciating things and being thankful is tied to our love. I think as we love, it shows and it drives our thankfulness, it drives our appreciation. And in fact, I think many times when our love starts to fail, what we see is our thankfulness drop and our appreciation drop. Appreciation and thankfulness is a powerful and beautiful thing. And it's something that I think God wants us to have. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, it talks about kind of bad times. It says, "But know this, that in the last day, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." Are you an unthankful? Are you appreciative? We see here in Song of Solomon, we see the appreciation. We see the love. Love drives our appreciation. Love drives our thankfulness. And I think that's something that we have to think about from time to time. Are we a thankful people? Are we appreciative people? I think of Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful." That's interesting. These people knew God, but they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. I think when we lack in appreciation, when we lack in thankfulness, I think what happens is our love is failing. Are you thankful for what God has done? Are you appreciative of what God has done? And if you're not thankful and appreciative, you know what it leads to? It leads to many times unthankfulness. When people are not thankful for what God's done, when they don't appreciate what God's done, their relationship starts to fail. And I think sometimes that can happen in our marriages, is when we don't appreciate our spouse, when we don't love our spouse, when we don't verbalize that. Don't we see them verbalizing it in Song of Solomon? Don't we see husbands verbalizing to the wife? Do we see wives verbalizing to the husband? Yes, we do. And I think it's something that we have to think about. Think of our marriages. Appreciation and thankfulness. Let our marriages and our relationships be filled with appreciation and thankfulness. I'm not talking about flattery. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you think Solomon meant every word he said in Song of Solomon? I think he did. Do you think that the spouse meant every word that she said back to her husband? I think she did. See, here's the difference between flattery and appreciation. It's sincerity. I think that's the law. Is when you're not sincere, you're just flattering because you're trying to get something. That when you're not sincere, but when you are sincere, that's appreciation. And I don't think the Bible has any issue with that at all. And I think the Bible encourages it. If you see something good, appreciate it. But are we looking for good? Are we looking for good in our relationship? I think sometimes that gets people in a trap sometimes. Early on in the relationship, all we can see many times is what? All we can see is good. Sometimes I think that gets people into trouble. All we see is good. But you know what? Sometimes as that relationship goes on, I'm afraid that we do a flip-flop and all we see is the negative. Do you look for good? Do you look for good in your relationship with your spouse? Do you look for good in your friendship? Do you look for good in the church? Or all the time are we just looking for what's bad? If we can find that which is good, can we appreciate it? Are you looking for the good? There was a story of a man that was I read. He was struggling in his marriage. This man was struggling in his marriage, and he had some counseling. And the counselor said, "This is what I want you to do."
He said, I don't want you to tell your wife that you're doing this, but he said, what I want you to do is be dedicated, and every day I want you to write down something that you appreciate about her. He said, you don't have to tell her. I just want you to write down something that you appreciate and you're genuinely thankful for. Month one and two go by, and he starts writing it. You know what happens? As he starts looking for good, he starts thinking about the good in the marriage. And then he starts thinking about the good, and then he starts saying some of these things to his spouse. He says by month six, his marriage had turned around. He kept doing that for a year. He packaged that up and gave it to her as a present. She broke down in tears. All it was things that he appreciated about her. Things that he was thankful for. And as he started to look at those things, as he started to think about those things, he couldn't help but say those to his spouse. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. I know that this isn't the easiest thing for you to do. Thank you for this. I appreciate this. I love this, that you do this. Are we appreciative people? Because I think when I look through Song of Solomon, and I read it, and I've read it a few times, I can feel their love. I can feel their appreciation for one another. And again and again and again, we see it comes as verbal. Do you look for good? I think that's step one, is look for good. I think step two is try to think good. You know, if you look at Song of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 7, this is one of those praises of the spouse or the bride. And in chapter 4, it goes down through, and really he's working his way down the body, and he is praising the body every step of the way. And look at chapter 4 and verse 7. What does he say? You are fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Question. Are any of us 100% perfect? I don't think so. So question, why in chapter 4 and verse 7, why he's going down through these phrases, why does he say, you are fair, my love, and there is no spot in me? He's saying, you're perfect in my eyes. You are perfect in my eyes. You know, do we think good about our spouse? Do we look for good? Because some people try to nitpick their spouse and they try to find the evil, don't they? Here, we have in chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, you are fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. But you know what? Sometimes we try to nitpick at each other. We try to find the one thing that's wrong. We try to find the one mistake. We try to find the one negative thing. And you know what? Wouldn't that just totally destroy verses 1 through 15 if we could find one thing negative in there? It's like, this is beautiful, this is beautiful, this is beautiful, this is beautiful. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, this is not so beautiful. But not in the spouse's eyes. You know, you look at that. It says, you are fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. You know, do we think good about those that are around us in our marriage relationship, but about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are brothers and sisters in Christ perfect? No, none of us are. I'm not perfect. Our elders are not perfect. Our deacons are not perfect. We as individuals are not perfect, but when we look for good, I think the Bible encourages us to look for good and to think good. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God wants you thinking about good things. And I can tell you, if you start focusing on those negative things, it'll take you to a dark and dangerous place. Have you thought about, don't only look for good, but try to think good. That's a challenge sometimes in our life. And I think many times when we see marriages have struggles, not that I'm perfect in this at all, but I think that sometimes when marriages start to go south, it's because we're losing the battle in our mind if we're focusing on all the negative and we can't look up and see the good. Can you see the good? Can you see the good in brother so-and-so? Can you see the good in sister so-and-so? It doesn't mean that we overlook things and we don't deal with things that come up, but we have to be honest and we have to look. Are you thinking good? Because many times I think we harp on the negative so much that it discourages individuals. Sometimes it discourages relationships. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11, it says, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. If you think about bad things long enough, you know what will happen? They'll eventually come out of your mouth. And some of these things that come out of our mouth can be so damaging to the other person. In our physical relationship and in marriage, but also in our spiritual relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we thinking about what comes out of our mouth? Are we thinking about good things? Because if we think about bad things about brother or sister so-and-so, you know that eventually it'll probably come out. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out. Why? Because that's what you're really thinking about most of the time. This is why I think forgiveness is so important. Because if you haven't forgiven somebody in your life, you know what you think about this person? You think about every negative thing that person's done to you. That'll tear you apart, and it'll tear up your relationship. Think about it. If you have not forgiven somebody in your life, you are going to think about every negative thing that person has ever done, and it is just going to cycle that relationship out of control. Can you see the good? When I look at Song of Solomon, I see two individuals that love each other, and they want to appreciate each other, and we see that they're looking for good in one another, and they're thinking good about one another, and we're going to see that they go to the next step, and they actually verbalize it. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. We've got to watch over our heart. We've got to watch over our mind that we are thinking good things. And sometimes we need to forgive individuals in our lives, because if we don't forgive those individuals in our lives, all we'll do is think bad about them. And it'll tear the relationship apart. Can we look for the good? Sincere appreciation comes out of the heart. Work on your mind. Look for the good, think good, and perhaps it'll do a lot in your relationship. Our words are so powerful. Have you ever thought about planning some good words that you were going to say to another? You know, I've had some good words said to me over the years that have stuck with me for a long time. Good words are powerful. Good words from a spouse are powerful. Good words from a friend are powerful. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, pleasant words are like the honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Why don't we give our spouse and our friends something sweet? Why don't we give them a sincere and sincere compliment? I'm not talking about flattery, because flattery doesn't mean anything because it's insincere. But if something's sincere, you see somebody doing something good, you see them doing something good for the church, you see them doing something good in a relationship, praise that. Appreciate that. That's what we see in Song of Solomon. They're appreciating one another. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Why are we not nurturing our relationships with one another with positive appreciation? Not flattery, appreciation. Sincere thanks. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. That's an interesting idea, is that there's a tongue that pierces like a sword, that hurts people. And that there is a tongue that actually promotes health. And I'm talking about mental and physical. There's a tongue that promotes health. And you know what it is? I think it's words of appreciation. We've got to be careful with our words, though. Because in chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, he's praising his wife. When it's just one time, he brings one negative into there. I think we all know what happened. He's praising his wife. He's focusing on the good. He's looking good. And he's telling her all these things. And in verse 7, he says, you are fair, my love. There is not one spot in you. No blemish. We've got to be careful with our words. Words can promote health, but words can tear people down. We need to look for good. We need to think good. And the last step is speaking good. And that's what we see these two are doing with one another. They are speaking good to one another. They're remembering the positive. They're focusing on the positive. They're not focusing on the negative. You find the negative in Song of Solomon. This might be a bigger relationship tip than people would care to admit. Appreciation. When's the last time you gave your spouse, a loved one, a friend, a brother and sister in Christ, sincere appreciation? You know what my rule is? And this has happened to me. Is that when I give my wife a sincere compliment, she scratches her head and looks at me? I probably haven't been doing that the way I should. You know what I mean? If I say, Sarah, I'm so thankful that you did this, and she scratches her head and goes, why are you saying that? I'm probably not appreciating her the way that I should. As much as I should. It should not be a surprise when I appreciate my wife. When I'm thankful for my wife. You think about that. And you know what, brothers and sisters in Christ, they shouldn't be surprised when we're thankful for them. Sincerely, appreciative of them. We need to make sure that we're speaking good. We see these two are speaking good to one another. And in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you know, you think about that? That could be the death and life of many marriages right here. The power of the tongue. Are you using your tongue to build up the relationship, or are you using your tongue to tear down the relationship? In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, a wholesome tongue is the tree of life, but perversiveness, in it breaks the spirit. It says that a wholesome tongue is like a tree of life, and it says perversiveness, evil, in it breaks the spirit. Have you ever thought that your words could break somebody's spirit? That's pretty powerful. I mean, life and death is in the tongue, but life and death is in the tongue. Perhaps life and death is in our marriages based off our tongue. A tongue can be a tree of life, but it also can break someone's spirit. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4. Have you thought that you could break somebody's spirit with your tongue? We need to watch our words. We need to look for good. We need to think good. We need to speak good. We need to control our tongue. As Christians, we should be looking into that. In James chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, if anyone among you thinks he just is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. If we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be servants of God, God is really telling us there's something that you need to watch after. It's your tongue. Because life and death is in your tongue. You can build somebody up, you can tear them down. Do we appreciate those that are around us? And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Can we build each other up? You know, negativity is contagious. You don't think so? Negativity is contagious. You've probably been in this situation, I have as well. If something negative is said, and what's your temptation? To send something negative back. And then you know what happens? Is it starts to escalate. Negative thing has been said, negative thing goes back. Negative thing goes this way, negative thing goes this way. And then it starts building and building and building. You don't think negativity is contagious? You don't think complaining is contagious? You don't think disputing is contagious? You know how you end that? You got to break the cycle. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I remember, because it just stuck out to me, I was having a discussion with a Baptist preacher, and it went late into the night. We're good friends, fishing buddies, and this conversation had went late into the night. And he kept getting testy. And for some reason, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 just popped into my mind. And he would get testy, and then I would just answer in calm. And you know what? He would come back down. And then after a few more minutes, he'd get testy again. And I'd just answer softly, and he'd come back down. We match each other. Have you ever thought about that? You send something negative, someone's going to send you negative back. Negative, 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 negative. You've got to break the cycle. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Soft answer turns away wrath. It says, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh yeah, negativity is contagious. We've got to be careful. Disputes are contagious. And you know what? I don't know if this is perfect, but when I think about compliments and negative things that have been said to me, which ones do I remember more? I can tell you there are some compliments that I have carried with me throughout my life. And I can tell you that there's been some negative things that have been said to me that I have carried with me for most of my life. I think both sides of the spectrum are super powerful. Have you had something negative said to you that you carried with you a long, long time? Have you had something positive said about you that you carried a long, long time? The question is, which side of the spectrum are we going to use? Are we going to use the positive or are we going to use the negative? You know, love drives appreciation. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. We've got to end the cycle. We've got to show appreciation. We've got to show love, sincere appreciation. When we pray with those that are around us, when you speak good of those that are around you, I wonder how many miles have been run on appreciation alone. Have you ever thought about that? How many miles have been run on appreciation alone? Because something was positively said to you, and you continued on because of that positive comment. I remember an older lady, and I'll kind of conclude here with this, I was preaching when I was 18, and she pulled me aside, basically grabbed my shirt, you know, and she pulled me aside and she said, if you ever stop preaching, she said, I'll find you. I know she meant that as an encouraging comment, don't you? He meant that as encouragement. I remember that. Think about that. I've carried that positive comment with me all these years. From 18 till now. I'm still carrying it. I can still visualize it. I can still see it. She passed on. Positive comment carried all these years.
Have you thought about what positivity you're putting into the world? Have you thought about love, drive, appreciation? Have you thought about appreciating a loved one, a friend, a brother, a sister in Christ? We see Solomon. He looks for the good. I think he's thinking good, and he speaks good. Let us not hesitate to speak good. Let us not hesitate to show sincere appreciation. If perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening, if perhaps you need the prayers of the church, we would love to help you in any way that we can, if you come as we stand and as we sing.